Jean Tissieu arrived at Hampton Court with William and Mary in 1689, and he immediately set to making ironwork for them. After a few small items, he set to make the screen, which bears his name, the Tissieu screen, which consists of 12 panels. We think it was originally made for the East Front Garden, which was designed by Daniel Marrow, compatriot of his, but we don't know exactly where it would have been put. But what we do know now is that if you look at how the screen sits at the bottom of the Privy Garden at Hampton Court, where it was put in 1700, so it doesn't sit there very easily. So we think it was made for an earlier place with a tighter curve, but we don't quite know where that is, but we have ideas as to where it might have been. So the screens were stored in Tissieu's workshop, which he had on the Hampton Court Green opposite the palace. And when William III was making his second Privy Garden in 1700, he asked Tissieu to design a fence to go at the bottom of the Tissieu's Green on the barge walk, which separates the garden from the river. And so Tissieu got out the screens and he made some pilasters and some intervening rails, and he strung them up on poles as William III had asked him when the garden was nearing completion. And the king sat in the first floor window, in the middle window, looked down the garden, which was almost finished, at the screen, and he could see the river. So it's brilliant. Well, he could just about see the river, but there was one thing in the way, and that was that the garden was too high. So although he loved the screen, as he saw it slung up between its fir poles, he didn't like the garden, and he asked the gardeners, would they take it down another 8 foot? So this didn't go down very well with the gardeners. But anyway, so Tissieu then, of course, had to take the screens back to the workshop on the green and wait for the garden to be reduced, the level to be reduced, before he could begin to put them back again. Now, during that period of a couple of months, William III was riding in the park in Hampton Court, and his horse, his favourite horse, Sorrel, happened to stumble on a molehill, and William III fell off and broke his collarbone and was brought back to the palace here. And then he was taken over to Kensington Palace. Now, during that period, an infection set in, and William III had died within a couple of weeks. So, of course, Tissieu was left with all his screens in the workshop. The gardeners were left with a garden not quite completed. The person who succeeded was Queen Mary's sister, who became Queen Anne, who had no liking for William at all and was very loath to pick up any of his bills, especially his huge amount of gardening bills. So that resulted in a lot of the people who worked on the Privy Garden not actually being paid. And one of these people, one of these casualties, was Tissieu. And so he was never paid for all the work that he'd done, which was quite a considerable amount. And quite shortly after this, he disappeared back to France. And we think he must have died over there. Certainly he was never heard of in England again. So that was the end of Tissieu, but it wasn't the end of the Tissieu screen. Because the Tissieu screen went on, he'd sat there in the Privy Garden, until the 1730s, when Queen Caroline, the wife of George II, who was a great gardener in her own right, came to Hampton Court. The gardens here were very formal, are still very formal, and they were out of date at that mode because a less formal, the English landscape garden, was coming in. But in fact, she didn't change the gardens, but what she did do was move the Tissieu screen down to just a little bit further along the gardens and in a straight line alongside the River Thames. And she moved it there because this was the nightly walk of the court, who went to visit one of the princesses, Princess Amelia, who had a house alongside the bowling green at the pavilion. So all the court would retire there in the evening, play cards with Princess Amelia, perhaps play some bowls if it wasn't getting too dark, and drink far too much that was good for them, gambling for very high stakes, and then stumble back to the palace in the early hours of the morning. And there was kind of anecdotes about people falling in the bushes and all kinds of things, so the Tissieu screen bears witness to all that. By the 19th century, of course, after the death of Queen Caroline, there's no more royal occupation of Hampton Court, so everything is on a very low level of maintenance, especially the gardens. And so no maintenance at all is going on for the Tissieu screen, which, being set in that location and not having any attention, is going to be in a very bad state of repair. In the middle of the 19th century, Henry Cole, who is the director of the new Victoria and Albert Museum at South Kensington, takes a look at Hampton Court to see what might fill his very empty rooms, and he alights on one of the things being the tissue screen. And so he runs a campaign saying what a terrible, deplorable state of repair the screen is in, and that he would like to have it removed for its own sake to protect it, and take it to the show it at the exhibition, on exhibition at the museum at South Kensington. And he actually succeeds in this, despite campaigns from various eminent blacksmiths, Starkey Gardner being one of them, and has the screen removed. When he gets it to South Kensington, he doesn't in fact put it all on display there. He has it repaired, not a very extensive repairs as far as one can see, although the papers are now missing. And then he sends it as teaching aids, the screen separately, to various countries around the British Isles, including Dublin, Nottingham, Edinburgh, all over the country. They stay there until 1901, when another campaign starts running for the restoration of the tissue screen to Hampton Court. And that, in 1901, a new kerb is built for it at the bottom of the Privy Garden where it stood in 1702, and it comes back, and that's where it is today. And during the course of the 20th century, there have been many attempts to restore and repair the screen, some of them more successful than others, but it is a very high maintenance object altogether.